Amen. Tell somebody next to you, we believe this morning. We believe. And you can have a seat. What a powerful song declaring that we believe in Jesus. Thank you for being with us today as we worship the Lord. We, over the last 3 weeks, have been talking about being alive in the, if you know it, say it with me, alive in the 1-5, talking about how to seek the Lord and seek His presence in 2015, asking God to be with us and guide us. And I don't know about you, but I need a change for 2015. Anybody else need a change for 2015? So we're looking at how to get 2015 alive in the 1-5 onto God's agenda, onto His timeline, onto what He wants for us. And looking at the Word of God, seeking the Word of God for life. And, you know, the name of our church is Life Community. And it was named that way for a reason, that we would be a people that were alive in the Lord Jesus, that we would be alive in how we love people and cared for people and worship God. That was chosen very intentionally to be a living people, that we wanted to be full of life in our community. And we believe and know that it's only in Jesus that we have life. So we're looking at how to live in the 1-5, how to live in 2015. We desire to be a connecting and caring and changing church. So how does that work? Well, we've talked about the need for spiritual renewal. We've talked about the need to stay focused. And this morning, I want us to look at another example, another testimony of what living people do. Before we do that, I want us to read our memory verse out loud. This is kind of our memory verse for the year that we're kind of remembering to get the path started out in the right way. Colossians 3:1. Can we say this together? It's on the screen. Let's read it together. You ready? So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. One more time, can we? So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God, Colossians 3:1. So to be alive in the 1-5, we've got to seek what's above. We have to seek Jesus. So take your Bible this morning, open it up to the book of Mark chapter 12. We have it on the screen. We got it in your notes and your program as well, so everybody can follow along with God's Word this morning. Mark chapter 12. Jesus is in the temple, and He's been preaching to those old religious Pharisees that did a lot of bad stuff in the name of God, and they were some pretty rotten people. But Jesus is watching them. And in the process of that, He notices the offering time. He notices when it's time to give. And this is what he notices there in verse 41. The Bible reads, sitting across from the temple treasury, He watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and dropped in 2 tiny coins worth very little. Summoning His disciples, He said to them, I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those giving to the temple treasury. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on. Father, we thank You for the Word. May You bless it today. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word. Lord, we can't understand it and apply it unless the Holy Spirit is teaching us the Word. So, Father, we ask You to teach us and to open our hearts that the living really are giving, God. And we pray today that You, Lord, would help us to receive this Word, Lord, as a living people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. May You touch a life and save a soul. We pray in Your name. Amen. So Jesus is at the temple. This is before He died on the cross, before He resurrected, during His earthly ministry. And He's at the temple, and He's observing giving time. Now, He was probably in an area of the temple called the Court of Women. Now, it didn't mean that only women were allowed to be in this area, but this is the part in those Old Testament days, in those days before Jesus had died and resurrected and the church was born. This is as far as the ladies could get. But in the Court of Women, there was also offering jars, so to speak, in this area where both the men and the women could come together and give their offerings to God. Now, what was interesting about this area is that when they gave their offerings, they were like these big metal pots that came up like a flower shape, and it looked almost like an instrument, like a like a trumpet, so to speak. And when they came in to give, each of these little trumpets is what they called them, had different areas of giving. You know, yes, there was even designated giving 2,000 years ago. How about that, you know? And you would go up and you would designate your gift into a certain pot. And that's how they gave. And Jesus was watching the people as they gave. And the Bible says there was large crowds of the rich coming. And the rich were giving. But it wasn't the rich that struck his eye. There was a poor widow who came and gave, and we're going to talk about her more in a little bit, but a very little amount. Probably the two, we often call it the widow's mite. You ever heard that word, the widow's mite? Or they were leptas is what they were. And they were probably worth, you ready for this, what she gave? 1/8 of a cent is what she gave. That's probably what it was. But the Bible says she gave all she had to live on. It was about 1/8 of a cent. And she drops those in the jars, and Jesus makes an observation. Between the rich who gave large sums of money and the poor widow who dropped in 1/8 of a cent, he declared that the poor widow had given more than those that empty their checkbooks out. Now, when we approach being a living people, there's one thing you have to understand, that as you read God's Word, especially the New Testament, especially the early church, you notice something about these people that have been changed by God and that have been touched by God, is that they have a giving spirit about them. You notice the very first church, they pull together and they sacrifice and they help each other. You know, it's almost like those that know the Lord, they just start giving. And they just start helping people. You know, and it makes sense. I mean, if we're going to be a living people, we've got to turn to the living God. And the living God has done what? He's continually gave and gave and gave to us. He gave the earth. He made human beings. He made them. The Bible says when he scooped us out of the ground, he gave his breath into us. He's given us all kinds of blessings. Real quick, if you have received just one blessing from God, raise your hand in your life. Thought so. Everybody here has. You know how I know that? Because you're breathing right now. And your breath was given to you by God. So if you think you ain't never got something, everybody just take a big deep breath. You got something. On top of all of that that was given, the Bible says that he gives us grace and salvation. We'll talk more about that in a second. So it only makes sense that the living are giving. That those that are alive in Christ are a giving bunch of people. That they give and that they help and that they contribute because they are reflecting their God. They're reflecting who God is. And God is what? A giving God. So therefore they've been changed and they become a giving people. Now I know what you're thinking, don't you? Of all the days I chose to come to church, we came on the money day. No! Not the money sermon, not the obligatory money sermon that we all dread. Oh my goodness, my pager went off. My kid needs me. I warmed the car. Let's get out of here, you know? The money sermon. What in the world? Why do we cringe? Why do we cringe? Why do we get so nervous when we talk about giving? Now, for some of you all lived through the errors of the TV evangelist that embezzled all that money and that sort of thing. And when I was preparing my message and I was looking, oh, there's this wacko that embezzled money and this other jerk dude that embezzled money and all this stuff. And then I'm thinking something. I'm 31 years old. And, you know, in my generation, you know, growing up in the 80s, yeah, there was some of that, but I don't really remember a lot of that stuff. So my generation can't really blame the TV evangelist in the 70s because we weren't born yet. Maybe some of you guys can. What I'm learning is that when we blame those dudes, we don't really even know who they were. Now, have we seen gross examples of misuse of monies and funds in churches? Yeah, we have. I've seen that. I mean, I've seen churches completely handle it in an ungodly, inappropriate way. But there might be another reason why we just don't like to hear about giving. It might not be because we're blaming some church down the road that made a gigantic financial sin, deliberate sin, and we're not taken up for them either. Nor is it that we've been burned from hearing the church talk about money, 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 money. I think it goes deeper than that. I think a reason that we don't like to hear about giving is because it attacks us. See, we as human beings, believe it or not, whether you want to admit to it or not, you have an entitlement mentality. You think everybody owes you. Everybody's out to get you. Everybody's hurt you. And you ain't going to give because you're waiting for somebody to give to you. That is human nature. That is a selfish side of us that wants to receive, receive, receive. See, giving involves us stepping out of our comfort zone into faith. And that is very unnatural. Amen? That is very of the faith realm and not of the natural realm. Giving requires us to get closer to God. Now, listen, tough sermon maybe, but just hear me on this, okay? One reason we don't like to hear giving is because our walk with God's not very strong. And as a result of our walk with God not being very strong, we hear giving and it invades us and it hurts us. And part of that is because you're not walking close with the Lord. Because if you're walking close with God, you understand He's a giving God and He's also a God of provision. He's a God that provides and guides, and He'll never ever lead you somewhere that He won't provide for you. So part of that is that our walk with God just isn't strong. And for others, we've lost that desire. We've lost that intimacy with the Lord. And can I just be honest? Can I just be real? One reason we don't like to hear talks about giving, you ready? Because we get convicted. Amen? We get convicted. And it doesn't make us feel good. But what I believe is that that is a spiritual problem. And yes, I believe wholeheartedly that giving is really connected to your spiritual walk with God. I really believe that. What I've learned in life is that normally not only are the living giving, but the living that give are also happy people. I've noticed that. That people that give are normally happy people. Jesus Himself said, it is better to give than to receive. Paul quoted Him in the book of Acts saying that. It is better to give than to receive. And it is. It is. It is awesome. And I want us today to understand that there is a right way to give. And that we as a living people going forward in the 1-5, we need to understand that giving is spiritual. It's not that you have the finances of the church over here and the spiritual side of the church over here and you draw a line and they're separated. No, they are together. Amen. They're together. The way we handle that needs to be appropriate and God-honoring. It needs to be respectful to the Lord. We need to cherish God in how we do our finances and also how we give. There needs to be accountability. You know, and I just want to tell you a little bit about our church. Our church really is working in an accountable way. You probably didn't ask for this. This isn't in my notes, but you get it for free. Amen? You know? And so there you go. You know, we have a great accountability system set up at this church. I touch no money. Anybody ever try to give me money to put in the offering plate and I told you to go see somebody else? Jason's like, yeah, he won't take it, will he? No, I ain't touching your money. Love you. Go give it to somebody else. I don't touch it. That's part of our accountability that we've set up at this church. I have no access to funds, no access to checkbooks, none of that. I don't ever touch money. I don't know what you give. I'm going to preface my sermon before I get into my notes about that. I don't know what you give. I only know what one family in this church, I only know one family. And what they give. You know whose family that is? That's mine. I don't look at your giving. Don't know how much you give. As far as I'm concerned, all y'all are tithing. Amen? Y'all all tithing actively. That's all I know. In addition to that, our checks and balances at our church, we have a triple check. And Stephen and Sarah can tell you this. A triple balance in place. We have one group of people that deposit the money. Another group of people that writes the checks. And another person that receives the statements to balance it all out. Why do we do that? Because we know that a testimony is in line. Amen? Amen? And we think it's spiritual. And therefore, we have a stewardship team that wants to be spiritual. Aren't you proud of that? That wants to do it the right way? Where that stuff, like embezzling and all that garbage that dishonors the name of Jesus, won't happen? I am. I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that our church is moving in that direction. But now as we give, a living people. That was free, by the way. You didn't ask for that. That was extra, right? Bonus time, you know. But as we get into giving, you know, I think about why some cringe and why some love giving. This last Christmas time, my little girl Gracie, she's 4 years old. Man, it was almost a fight every time we went to Walmart. And the reason it was a fight was because when we went to Walmart, the Salvation Army was out there. And they were ringing those bells, and they had the little bucket out there. And man, we would say, Gracie, just wait till we get inside, and we bust a dollar, and you could put something in the jar. But I want to give now! Just wait. No! We need to give now! And you know, I thought about that. Isn't that really the spirit we need? Let's give now. Let's just go raid the ashtray and dump it in the Salvation Army's bucket, you know? For our Christmas offering, I was so proud of my little girl. She wanted to take her, and I'm bragging on her, okay? But she wanted to take her piggy bank and dump all of it. It was just pennies. And we dumped it in a Ziploc bag, and she gave it as her Christmas offering. Yeah, you say aw, but Jerry Williams had to count those little bitty pennies, right? He had to count those, didn't you, Jerry? Yes. He had to count those things. Oh, and Jerry's like, oh, you know, so two ways for that. But how we need to develop this heart of giving. Can we look real quick, three things real quick about a heart of giving, how to give from this text we just read. First, I want you to notice this, that the living give under God's eyes. We give under the Lord's eyes, okay? Look at the text, Mark 12, verse 41. Setting across from the temple treasury, Jesus watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Did you notice that? He's watching how they gave. He's watching how they give. Now remember, when they came in, they operated, their main currency was coins that they operated in. So when the rich people came and they dumped it into the trumpets, remember the trumpets I was telling you about, the jars that looked like metal flowers that came up that they dropped them into. Well, the rich would come, and they would literally stand in front of those trumpets, those jars, the collection jars, dropping large amounts of coins in. They were made out of metal. So guess what happened? Every time a coin went in, what did it do? Cleaned, made a noise. So what Jesus is saying, that as they gave, they were standing in front of everybody, and you know, they just didn't dump it all in, did they? They stood there and did what? Ding, 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 ding. For everybody to see. Ding, ding, ding. For everybody to hear. Now, the Bible says that another lady comes up, and she gives in a different way. Just a small amount. See, but these people, they were giving to be seen by man. And I think that's a big deal when it comes to giving, is that you are not to give to be seen by man, but you are give to be seen by God. Your giving is not for man, your giving is to the Lord. Now, when you go and you learn about giving in the Bible, you need to understand that giving is worship. Giving is worship. Can we say that together? Giving is worship. Understand that it's not paying dues, it's not paying some sort of club fee or anything like that. Giving is an act of worship of God. And we celebrate God, we worship God through the act of financial giving. Look at what Malachi 3:10 says. It says, bring the full tenth, or a tithe, as some translations will say, bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that we're to bring the tenth. What is the tenth? What is the tithe? Are you ready? That is the first tenth. It's not the leftover. It's not the extra. It's the first tenth of your income that you give to God. The first tenth. And you're to bring it where? The Bible says into the storehouse, into God's house. For what purpose? So that there may be food or resources in the temple. Translate that in the New Testament thinking. We bring our tithes in, into the church, so that we would have resources and ministries within the church to do what? to connect and care and change. Amen? You know, somebody says, man, well, just why can't the church give us money? And, you know, believe it or not, we don't have all the money in the world. We don't. Now, I'm not going to say this, but I heard a preacher say one time, he says, I know where all the money is. We got all the money we need. All the money we need. It's just in your pocketbooks. Amen? Now, I'm not going to say that, though, right? You know? I'm not going to say that. But he said it. He's a good guy. He said it. But here's the deal. We give as an act of worship. And the first tenth is important. That we give the first tenth. Because there's something about giving the first tenth of your income that makes a declaration. It says that I trust God with the first tenth. Therefore what? I trust God with the what? The rest. See, this is spiritual. Do not confuse me. This is spiritual. I trust God. You know, here's the deal. I love Texas Roadhouse. Anybody else? If I don't eat it all, it goes in a box. Home with me. Stay in the fridge for a little bit. And I microwave it. It's still pretty good. But if I had my choice between microwave Texas Roadhouse or right off the grill Texas Roadhouse, which one am I going to pick? You're getting somewhere, aren't you? Therefore, the tithe is to be the same way. It's our first tenth. Y'all with me? In the Old Testament, they would bring these sick lambs and diseased lambs. And they'd bring them to God. And they'd say, well, here's our lamb for sacrifice. And yeah, it was a lamb. But God rejected it. Why? Because the heart was not there. Does that make sense? He rejected it because this isn't a sacrifice. This is a sick little lamb that you're giving. This is like the leftovers. The tithe is not the leftovers. The tithe is the first tenth. And it should go into God's storehouse. It should come into the church. I believe that. So that there may be people in the church that can be helped and ministered and that we can go out and minister. And I believe that our offerings are above the tithe. I think there's a difference between a tithe and an offering. The tithe is the tenth. An offering is above the tenth. And the Bible teaches us that we can rob God in tithes and offerings. So if God lays it on your heart to give something that's above your tithe, you better listen to God. Amen? Or listen to God. Well, I've done gave my tenth. I ain't giving no more. That's not the key. This is a spiritual matter. Amen? Where if the Lord calls you to sacrifice, you sacrifice. And also understand this. There's a way that we're supposed to give that's honoring to God. Look at what 2 Corinthians 9:7 says. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity. And say this with me, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you have to reach in and just be so miserable and so nasty about it, well, you just want my money, blah, 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 and you dump it in there, keep it. Keep it. God doesn't need your money. This church doesn't need your money. Did a preacher in a tithing sermon just say the church doesn't need your money? Welcome to Life Community. Everything's upside down. Amen? Everything's wacky here, isn't it? Because of the heart. Y'all with me? This is a spiritual matter where we give from our heart and we love to give. Again, the living are giving. And there's something joyful about giving. And God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why in the offering time, it's not just, well, I put this in, pay my dues and go. No, it's a time of worship. When the offering plate comes by, it's time to rejoice in God. My home down at Cross Point Baptist Church, where I grew up at, he used to get on people about getting up during the offering time. I remember it. He'd say, guys, that's not intermission. That's not a break. That's worship. That's not just you pop your money in and go, you know, go use the bathroom. That's a reflective time. And as you prepare to give, y'all follow me? You should think about that and worship God through giving. And really, don't we all have a lot to thank God for? So we should do it thankfully. Let's keep going. Second, the living give sacrificially. The living give sacrificially. Look back at the text. Many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and dropped in 2 tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those going giving to the temple treasury. Why? For they all gave out of what? Surplus. They gave more money than the widow did. They gave more money than her physically. But they gave what was left over. They gave the microwave Texas Roadhouse. Now, was it a lot? Yeah. Was it more money than what she gave? By a landslide. But the Lord commended this lady for her gift. Because, as we'll learn, that's all she had to live on. And she gave all she had to live on. The rich were giving to be showy. The rich were giving to say, look at me. The lady was giving because of worship. Now, I want you to understand something. That this passage is not teaching to give as little as you can. Are y'all following me on that? If you read the story and you think, well, this just says that I can just give as little as I can and it's okay, you've missed the point. Because you read on down, what does the Bible say? She gave what? All she had. So don't just say, this lets me throw two Lincolns in. Hey, I'm giving more than her if I throw in two pennies, right? It's not what it's saying. She was giving sacrificially. She was giving unto the Lord a sacrifice. She was a sacrificial giving. Likewise, when we give, it should be a sacrifice. Now, I understand that we're all pressed for money. We're all tied up. We all have hardships with money. But this is all about where it becomes spiritual and a priority. There's not a certain amount that everybody has to give. It's not. It's not that you have to give X amount of dollars at Life Community Church. You're to give your tithe. And what is a tithe? A tithe is your income. Not Kenny's income. Not your income or their income. Or it's your own personal income. Here's the deal. If whatever your gross is that you pull in, what's your tithe off that? And here's the deal. You may say, well, I can't afford a tithe. But really and truthfully, if the tithe is custom to every individual person, who can? Amen? Does that make sense? Who can? Because if it's tailored towards each individual, this is no longer a what you can issue. This is an obedience issue. Are y'all with me? Boy, I love, man, so quiet in giving sermons. Man, just so focused. Love it, right? This is a heart issue. It's a worship issue. You got to think about this. And your tithe is what you guys bring in as a family or as an individual. And you honor God through that. But Kenny, it would hurt. That's why it's a sacrifice. Amen? That's why it's a sacrifice. And it's sacrificial giving. It's part of it. Amen? You know, it might mean that you... Well, Kenny, I just can't go without this or that or a burger or something. Where's your priorities? Where's your spiritual priorities? And by the way, remember that verse we said, bring in your tithe into the storehouse? Did you catch that he said something? You can look back in your notes at it. He said, test me in this. Did you all see that? Do you know this is the only place in the Bible, the only place you're allowed to test God? It is absolutely forbidden in all of Scripture for you to test God in any other matter except for that. In giving. We want to test God for everything. God, if you're real, make the clouds open up and a big rainbow come down and big bullhorn screaming out of the clouds saying, I'm real. God says, just test through giving and see. You asking God to open up the atmosphere to give you a sign, and He's asking you to give. Which one's harder? Come on. Which one's harder? Here's the deal. Through sacrificial giving, it hurts. And we need to understand that, boys, this is tough to say. Some of us want to say, well, I give my time or I volunteer to serve, and therefore that's my offering. No, that's not the same. Volunteerism and tithing is not the same. Because we're supposed to do both. Amen? Is that a hard word? It is. Well, I give my time so I don't have to give financially. That's not the way it works. And we're going to see why at the next point. But here's what I'm telling you. It tells you to test God. I want to make a declaration. My family tithes. And we have never, ever, ever missed that. Ever. God has continually provided for us and taken care of us. Always. I have confidence that He will always do that. I do. I believe in it. That giving is that important. If you're not currently tithing, can I make a challenge to you? Begin tithing for 2 months. Begin tithing for 2 months, the whole tithe. And just see if God won't open up His blessings for you. I'm not saying you're going to get a brand new Rolex, brand new car, all that nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that He'll provide for you. Amen? And here's why. It all comes down to this. The living give as a testimony of our faith. The next part of that verse, but she out of her poverty put everything she possessed in. All she had to live on. Again, this is not as little as you can give. This is, she gave everything. Everything, all she had. This lady gave everything. She was commended for that. It's not teaching the least we can give. It's teaching the opposite. The lady believed that everything she had belonged to God. And that's the biggest thing. When you tithe and you give, you're making a declaration. You know what that declaration is? You ready? Everything you have belongs to God. And when you give it back, you are making a declaration that I understand that, yes, not only my tithe belongs to God, but my house belongs to God, my car belongs to God, my health belongs to God, my family belongs to God, the street I live on belongs to God, the church I go to belongs to God. Everything is the Lord's. And I believe it. See, Jesus calls us to live a life of sacrifice. Look what it says in Matthew 16:24. He says to His disciples, if anyone wants to come with Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow Me. A life of Jesus is a life of sacrifice, of laying ourselves down, not just in finances, but with our time and our volunteerism and everything, that we lay our lives. You ready? You ready? To help people. To help other people. Christians give. Are you ready? Because we love God and we want to help people. That's why. We can't help people if you don't give. Did you know that? You can't help if you don't give. I mean, really, we're just kind of cutting all the fluff out today, amen? I mean, really, aren't we? We're just kind of calling it as it is. You've got to give. And God will honor that. And by the way, I said it once, I'll say it again. You can never, ever, ever outgive the Lord. Did y'all know that? You can never outgive God. Not at all. You can never outgive the Lord. The Bible teaches us that God Himself is the ultimate giver. The Bible says in John 3:16, you know that verse. For God so loved the world. I like the way the Holman translates it. God loves the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son. Did you catch that? He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. That means die and go to hell, but have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. See, we give not to go to heaven. We don't buy our way into heaven. You don't have enough money to buy your way into heaven. All right? You just ain't got it. We give because we have been recipients already of something amazing. And that's the love of God. That Jesus Christ Himself laid on the cross, suffered and bled and died and rose again. And if we believe and trust in God as our Lord and Savior, new life, forgiveness of sins, and we're changed. We want to reflect God in all that we do. We want to reflect Jesus. So why are we a giving people? Because what? Our Father is giving. Amen? Our Father is giving. Why do we want to be giving? Are you ready? Because it runs in the family. Amen? It runs in the family. And we look like Jesus because of all he's done to us. Let me ask you a question. Last blank and I'm done. A personal question. Will I be a giving Christian? Will I be a giving Christian? Friend, today, if you heard this sermon and you don't know the Lord and you might think you just heard another money talk, the church wanting your money. Well, if you don't know Christ today, let me just say this real quick. Jesus loves you. And all this is about worshiping a God that gave his life for us. It's not about a money talk. It's about worship. And the reason us Christians believe in worshiping God so much, because we've been so touched, so blessed by his forgiveness and his love and his grace. That's why. And it does crazy stuff to us. It gives us joy and happiness and forgiveness. And we just want to praise him. Amen, church. We just want to praise him. So today, if you don't know Christ, the very first thing he wants you to give him, you ready? Is your heart. The Bible says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you given your heart first and foremost to God? All that other stuff comes later, amen? But have you given your heart to the Lord first? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus who died for us on the cross. And Lord, as we preached a very challenging message today, God, we ask you to help us to be a giving people. And Father, how I pray that God, that you would, Lord, help people, Lord, to give and the tithe, but most importantly, Lord, they would just love you and they would love worship and they would love to help people. They would love to sacrifice. God, I pray that above anything else. God, there may be somebody in their neighborhood that they need to go to and help them. Maybe that person needs new paint on their house or they need their house cleaned or they can't afford it and you help them. Or God, maybe you send them to that person that's in need, that's lonely, to be a friend. God, that they would just represent Jesus and give themselves. First and foremost, to give themselves. That's what you want, God. It's for us to give ourselves. And Father, for those, Lord, that are convicted today about financial giving, I pray, Father, that they would, Lord, test you in this. And just see if you don't open up the gates, God. But Father, today we thank you for Jesus. And God, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, how I pray they'll be saved. How I pray that if they need to make a decision, they'll come today. Oh, Father, we love you. Move in spirit and truth. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand as we worship. You're welcome to come and pray. If you'd like me to pray with you, please come as we sing.